Blog
oh,
Talk
I guess.
Radio.
Oh, there it is.
Back to that question. Down with DDP is not the kind of segment that you can speak about. It's something you gotta see. And anybody knows Diamond Dallas Page, they know I'm always prepared. So JR, how'd you like to get down with DDP right here? Of course you would. Down with DDP is gonna be one of those segments.
Well, the bottom line is, Magnum, first of all, you take a guy like a Z-Man, a great athlete. I came down there with a stud just to give him a little of my professional advice. People pay big money for that advice, and he didn't want it. He put his hands on me. He never should have put his hands on Diamond Dallas Page.
Well, let me just tell you something. July 12th, back at the beach. Want him to know the size does matter.
That's this Sunday, man. The whole world's talking about it.
Rodzilla, bitch, you're dead. Damn!
So I'm here tonight to tell you, Savage, I've said it once, I'll say it again, back the camera. Macho, if you're that much of a savage, snap in to this. Bam!
Radio. And hey, yo, what's up, everybody? This is Sparky alongside Robert and Stacy. Just to give you a quick heads up, I know Robert seems to be having some technical difficulties. He's popping in and out, but he'll be here. You'll see DDP Radio coming in and out. That's Robert. But the show is here, and we're moving right through. I hope everybody's doing well this week. It's been quite a hectic week in the Sparky household, preparing to go away for the long weekend, plus a wedding, and if you didn't know, I have two boys, and my oldest boy, Damien, just turned 3 years old today, so I have, thank you, I have some confessions.
Hey, Damien.
What's that?
Happy birthday, Damien.
Thank you very much, I know he appreciates it, he was very excited. His gift today that he got when he got up this morning, even though I don't do it very much anymore, I still had the fishing rod my father gave to me when I was about 4 or 5 years old. And Damien is a boy's boy. He likes, you know, alligators, crocodiles, bugs, dinosaurs, and fishing. So I gave him the fishing pole my father gave to me. So that was kind of a nice hand-me-down for me to pass on to Damien. So that's what's been going on here. As you can tell, everybody's been busy. So we've been busy on the site. We've had, 60 people join the street. So for our...
I'm in.
You're in? Robert
yep,
is
I'm
back,
in.
Everybody. Welcome back, Robert. So,
thank you.
You're welcome. We got people, again, from the UK all the way out to California joining this week, and I'm just going to give a shout-out to them all. Nick Town, Craig Keene, our brother from across the pond, Lori Gets Fit in California, Renee Kornberg, Dave Sherman in Missouri, and Jose Silva in Florida. So all you new members, welcome. We've got a lot of people here from the chat room. Start talking, start asking questions, meet some people. And I'm going to tell you what, one of the most important things you can do is get your six picks. Your six picks is up there on the site. Go to teamorg.com. It'll tell you everything you need to know about taking them. These are going to be a source of motivation for you, and it's going to give you a great benchmark that 30, 60, 90 days from now when you're hitting your goals, you're going to look back and you're going to say, good God, I can't believe I was ever there. I'm never going to go back there. So I'm sure, Stacey, you can attest to the power of the six picks, huh?
I'm so glad I took pictures in the beginning because it does give me a reference point to where I do not want to be again. And Terry Lang, actually, she's my mentor. She's the godmother of YRG. And she keeps her one of her before pictures in prominent view, I think, in her home gym. This is a reality check, you know, so absolutely do it. It might be hard, but it will be worth it in the long run.
Absolutely. And that's a piece of the puzzle, one of the things that we're going to be talking about tonight and taking some reality checks on ourselves. So, you know, before we get there, we also have some attaboys to give out. And this week was an interesting week for people. We've had some old faces come back, and we've got some new faces making some first posts. So, Tyler, I'm going to slay your last name. I'm sorry, but Tyler Robodeau came in, and he kind of fits the topic that we're talking about this week. He's admitted kind of in his post that he's met some failure, but he faced it and he keeps coming back. So I want to give you a hand for doing that, Tyler. Good to have you back on the site. Barb McCabe comes in and out. She has some struggles, but she keeps trying to overcome them and keeps trying to pick herself up. So keep at it, Barb. You know we're all behind you, and love to see you on the site. And then one of our new faces, Craig Keene, is making his first post. So that's what it's all about, getting involved in Team YRG, inspiring people, letting people know who you are, where you are, and how you're going to meet your successes. So one of the things, Craig, I want to reach out and tell you about is coming up in the next couple weeks, Robert, Lindsay, and I have been working on a sort of a three-part series we're calling Holding Back the Hands of Time, The Art of YRG. And we're bringing in three notables from the Team YRG community. First of all, Stacy is going to be talking about the art of YRG nutrition, how to eat, what to eat, when to eat it, why to eat it. We're going to have Inside the YRG workout with our own Doug Steffen, which, Doug, if you're listening, we still need to pencil you in, buddy. So let us know so we can get the series kicked off. And the one and only Professor Henry Dembski, HD, is going to be talking about supplements, wellness, and health. If you wanted to know things to put in your body, what to do when you put them in your body, the right things to take with drinking, the right kind of water is, and taking care of your body with your doctor, HD is a guy that's going to give you the information you need. So look for that coming up. We're going to start that probably in the next week or two once we get everybody slated in. So what we've got coming up then in the future for YRG is the YRG retreats. I talked to Ashley at Travelsmiths this week, and oh boy, I can't tell you how excited I am. I'm really pumped for the YRG retreat. We're going with Dallas to Riviera Maya, the El Dorado Royale, 23rd through the 29th. Ashley tells me there's still some spots left, so if you're out there thinking about it, I think I went for the full time. I'm flying out of Pittsburgh. It cost me about $1,300. I'm splitting a room with somebody. If you shorten the trip and take a 4-day, it's going to be even cheaper than that. And depending on how your flights are, you might get an even cheaper rate. We're going to be taking cooking classes. Angela's going to be there. Angela Cole, we're going to learn a lot from her. We're also going to be taking 2 workouts a day with Dallas. And if you haven't heard, Dallas is working on the next level of YRG, YRG Extreme. And as you know, YRG reaches, there's always someplace else to go, and this is the place else to go. It's going to be a fantastic workout. We're going to see some of the new stuff, some of the stuff he's tailoring in YRG Extreme for the MMA guys, you know, the upper scale athletes, and for those of us in YRG who just need to take it to the next level. So really looking forward to that, and I hope you all are too. And coming up now to some updates on DDP. If you haven't checked out Dalla Page, that's his YouTube channel. You can get there going to YouTube or check out the site ddpbang.com. That's a conglomerated site that has everything about DDP, all his sites. Robert, I believe you threw that together. It's a fantastic site. Everything you need to know about DDP is there. And so it kind of brings us to some unfortunate news, which is also a focus of the show tonight. Any of us who grew up in and around wrestling knows that, the Macho Man Randy Savage unfortunately passed late last week. He was a fantastic hero for us when we were younger children as a wrestler, a wonderful entertainer, friend, husband, and will be sorely missed. So tonight's show is dedicated to the memory of the Macho Man, Randy Savage. So even amongst our calls tonight when we're talking about our topic, which is hearing reality, acknowledging reality, and then answering it with YRG. We're going to be asking if you want to share a thought or a memory about something that you thought about how the Macho Man might have impacted you. Feel free to give us a call and talk about it. That's what the show is for. So, with that, I'm going to go ahead and let Robert say a couple words because he knows a little bit more about the subject and the wrestling, and Randy can share some thoughts with us.
Well, excuse me, you have to excuse me. My throat's a little fried at the moment. It's been a long week. But anybody who doesn't know wrestling, Savage was a guy who did it all. He was at the top of the mountain in WWE, WWF at the time, or probably even when it was WWWF. Made a huge impact in WCW, also in TNA. Guy won every match imaginable. Was part of the Mega Powers with Hulk Hogan. Is absolutely one of the biggest stars of all time. Really, you can't say enough about his intensity, his work ethic. As Dallas can tell you, when it was red light time, when the cameras were rolling, he was very, very intense. I think Sparky, he said before that he was, as Dallas would put it, pissing blood for 7 or 8 weeks because of his matches with Randy Savage.
Yeah, and if I don't know if he mentioned it in his update on DDP TV, but flipping that, talking about that intensity, Dallas goes through a story about him actually calling and thanking Randy Savage and about how he was thinking about if he should do it or not, and then how much Savage actually appreciated it. And it was the one time where he was still intense in the moment, just was like, I need to talk to you, pulls him to the side, said, thanks, gives him a hug, and then goes.
Yeah, I mean, I'm honestly, I wish I would have had the opportunity to meet him, but I'm kind of glad I didn't because, intense people intimidate me. I probably would have run from the room if I had seen this guy.
When you look at him and you look at footage of him and you know how he's kind of always moving around and he's pumped and that one vein in his neck that's always sticking out and he's, I mean, that guy was turned on pure excitement, pure adrenaline, 100% of the time. You couldn't, if you weren't entertained and satisfied watching Macho Man, then hang it up, go home, because you didn't need to be watching.
Yeah, and absolutely. I'll tell you what, if for the people who believe that wrestling is fake, that these guys don't get hurt, go back and watch some of the highlights of his career with the flying elbow. The impact that he put on these guys was amazing. And did you know about what happened when he came down on Charles Robinson back in WCW?
No.
He collapsed his lung. Because how he landed on the guy. I mean, the guy was cool.
I believe it. If you watch that elbow drop, flying elbow, with whatever you want to call it, whatever side it is, Macho Man is on those ropes. He's jumped. That guy was in the sky before he came back down.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he really dropped that elbow, and it I mean, that was an exciting, heavy, heavy move.
Oh yeah, because a lot of the guys who do the elbow now will land on their sides. Their sides will hit the mat, and their elbow will hit the guy, and where they can pull some of the impact towards themselves, and you know displaces. Like that. Savage didn't do that. He was pretty much landing on the guy. It's a brutal move. But I feel sorry for Dallas taking that, for however long the feud lasted. He probably took it 2 or 3 times a week.
Yeah, and if you watch, I mean, Dallas has a bunch of videos up there. I mean, just basically honoring the guy. And if you know DDP, you know where his heart is, and if you watch his videos, I mean, I think it was taking all he could to hold back actually what he was really feeling when he was describing that. But DDP's heart was out there, and I think a lot of people's hearts are out there for Randy's family, and basically he is really going to be a man that is going to be missed by everyone. So keep
Absolutely.
That in mind as we go through the show tonight. And like I said, feel free to call up, talk about a topic, or you know, give us a thought or a memory on Randy Savage and what he meant to you as a wrestling fan. So this week, what we're going to talk about is, you hear it knocking? It was at me all week. I know Stacy had some experience, but things coming up that you can't quite deal with and acknowledging that, hey, this is reality, and then you have to answer with YRG. It's the challenges that we have. And a lot of it focuses around bouts of eating for comfort. If you're on the road, it's tough. If you're going someplace where the food is free, a big buffet, you're at a wedding. For Stacy, you were at a writer's junket this past week?
Yeah, I was. I've been on several for the last month and a half. So I've had a lot of back-to-back traveling. And that's when it started to hit me. I mean, it's okay every once in a while to go off track and do stuff a little differently with food, but because of the frequency, I noticed, you know, I was kind of getting less aware of what I was eating and operating under a few, like, delusions, such as if you eat food in an airport, it doesn't count, you know? And
yeah.
So it, for me, I mean, I'm a pretty easygoing flyer, but there's just a lot of stress at airports, and I'm pretty sensitive to other people's energy, and I guess it's just like all the stress from other people and some of the anger in the air and whatever, and it sort of seeps into me, and then I find myself wanting foods I don't normally want, or, you know, eating foods I don't normally eat. So I had a reality check during my last trip, and that was my pants were tighter. And, you know, at first I was kind of disappointed in myself and started to feel a little depressed. And then I thought, okay, you know, this is only a disaster if I say it is. So the minute I got back home, I joined a gym because I'm in a new city now and just got back on track. And maybe it's all the before pictures that are up on YouTube now. But, it's, you know, I just don't want to go back to where I was. And I know now that I don't have to. Some of you know I've gained 100 pounds back twice in my life. And I just don't think I have it in me to do that again. But there's no magic. I've got to stay aware and pay attention to what's going on inside me that's driving me to want to, you know, deviate from my normal, healthy, clean eating.
So before your YRG, when you were in that airport, what would you have done?
Before YRG, it was just everything was about what do my taste buds want and what would taste good and what would feel good, you know, for 5 seconds. And now I, you know, if I do have a food that I love that's really not a nutritional food, I eat it with awareness, and quantity matters, and it's a whole different ball game. And I kind of coined this phrase, like if I have chocolate, I make sure it's really good stuff. It's not crap. It's not M&Ms. It's usually dark and like 70-80%. And I realized, like, wow, this is actually like melting in my mouth, not my esophagus. I'm not, you know, I used to just wolf things down and not even pay attention to how it really tasted or that it was there.
You mentioned before that you would pick foods because of how they tasted and how it made you feel. And I think you mentioned before in one of the other shows that you used to be a very emotional eater.
An emotional eater, yeah, definitely. And part of it was, you know, eating for comfort, but then the other part of the equation is, you know, and we all know this, once we do something over and over, whether it's healthy or unhealthy, it becomes a habit. And so a lot of my binge eating and overeating and trance eating was just out of habit. It wasn't even out of seeking comfort.
And I think that's one of the things that I kind of hit this week. When you said it's it was all about the taste buds and taste. I, for the past couple days, you know, kind of got out of having hit my routine with the workouts. I've been trying to get up early. You can't really figure out what's wrong with you when things are wrong with you sometimes. It's just the stress. Life gets to you and things just have to stop. And sometimes that's a good thing. The bad thing is, even though I wasn't a real big guy when I started, I had a lot of weight in my midsection. I'm not a real big guy to begin with, so the weight I had was big to me. Mm-hmm. I love food. And I do. I love to eat food. I love to taste the food. It's amazing how much your taste buds can make everything else, every other piece of logic in your brain shut off.
Oh,
completely,
yeah.
Shut off.
Yeah.
I found myself half down in a bag of Chex Mix,
uh-huh,
earlier this week.
Uh-huh.
And handfuls. I'm shoving handfuls in my mouth. And it was at a point to where it kind of disgusted me. And I think that's when I was kind of emailing with Stacey. We were talking about the show topic. And I said, I had some issues this week, and that was one of them.
I was so glad that you said it, because then I felt free to share, you know, what mm-hmm. happened to me.
Well, and it's good, because I think one of the points of it, and at first I was saying YRG Confessions, but that sounds that sounds so, you know, Sunday school-like, and I didn't want to shy people away from coming in and maybe mentioning it. But I think one of the things is you kind of have to take a reality check when that happens, because if you don't and you don't get support, it's easy to lie to yourself. You can let your taste buds run away with it and go into the stupor. So after that, one of the things that Stacey helped me with, and then reached out to RK a little bit too, and he's like, I'm going to email you every day until you own your life. And I was like, that's awesome. Please do. So I've gotten a couple workouts in this week, not full bore. I got to ease back into it, and I will. And by this weekend, I'm going to be completely full bore, because I'm going away. And for some reason, when I go away, I'm able to work out like 2 hours a day. It's unbelievable. Most likely because a lot of family's around to watch my Rugrats for me. So, and which is pretty nice and pretty handy. So, if any of them are listening, Sarah, thank you. I appreciate it. But you know, you got to find ways to gain your focus back, and that's sort of one of them for me. And tonight, Damien wanted some pizza. I love pizza. It's my ultimate favorite food. And so I had a couple slices, but I wasn't where I was when I was half down, zombified, in a bag of Chex Mix. Mm-hmm. What I did after having my couple pieces of pizza is I turned to my blender, which is one of my favorite things in the world. And I started shoving spinach and some organic juice in there and a couple frozen blueberries. And that's sort of my shake to sort of fill up the rest of my belly. It tastes good to me. I get some of my veggies. I get some of my healthy, simple carbs in there. And instead of having the other half of the pizza, I have a big glass of that and then move on. So you got to find alternatives, kind of check your ego at the door, and make sure that you can control the rest of the things that you're putting in your body.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think one of the, you mentioned, just getting back on track and doing workouts and clean eating, and that's a definite part of getting back into the groove. For me also, not criminalizing, you know, a slip-up, because what good is that? And it's really not true that,
yep,
you know, slipping up or going back a little is a sin or a crime. It's just life is all about tides, like I said in the write-up, and we're not robots. And it's going to be natural to have some ebb and flow. So there's no shame necessary. There's no I've seen people on the site this week say, you know, apologizing for not being, you know, for dropping out or whatever, having problems, and there's no need to apologize. It's like life is ups and downs, and YRG is a great source of unconditional support. So you don't owe anybody any explanations. Just keep reaching out if you're having trouble.
And I think that's a great point.
Yeah, not only that, but these are people that are coming back. They're, you know, they've fallen down and they've gotten back up. That's not, you know, it's not the time for apologies. It's just the time to get your motivation and you know, kick yourself in the butt and get going. You've already gotten past that, the failure part or the temporary failure part, and you're moving again.
Yeah,
absolutely. And that's one of the things that I look at about this week and sort of feeling about it. The first couple of days, you're probably going to feel like your old self, you know, the old self before you met YRG, before you changed your attitude, before you started learning the power of positive thinking. And that's the point. It's hard. It's really hard to shake yourself out of that. But you've got to remember, it's a journey. You've fallen down, you pick yourself back up. You fall down, you pick yourself back up. You can't slip back there because that's not where you want to be and that's not where you want to go. And it's so dangerous, I think, at that point to sort of get into the part where you feel like you're apologizing, you're getting down on yourself, because that's where you can get into a real slippery slope. And you got to take advantage of some of the things that makes this community as good as it is, or makes your friends as good as they are to you, or whatever support system that you have. Because if people know the journey that you're on and they're really invested in you, and they're the type of people that you want around you, it's okay to face reality. It's okay to say, wow, I'm having a really bad week, because when you do, you're going to get little tidbits of people saying, you know what, I know where you've been on that journey. I've been there. But you know what, I'm not there now, and you're not going to be there next week. And once you start, they start reminding you, you say, you know what, yeah, you're right. You're not there. A couple of days later, you're going to be out of your funk. You're going to be pulling yourself back, and you're going to be right back up on the journey. Now, we have done some damage. We have done some things that maybe you regret. Yeah, but it's okay, because this is a journey. It's not a sprint. Today is one day. It's not going to wreck you. You're going to put a bunch of these days together, and before you know it, it's going to be so far behind you. So if you're listening or in the chat room and you want to give us a buzz, 347-994-1216, you know, you have anything that you want to talk about, maybe some challenges you met this week, some creative ways you got out of them, or maybe something you just want to get off your chest so you can move on, give us a buzz. It's what we're here for. Also, anything that you want to talk about, honoring Randy Savage, it's cool too. Give us a call. I mean, that's in our roots. It's part of YRG. So anybody out there by chance?
Not at the moment. Hopefully we're going to have some people step up here soon and give us a call.
Yeah, that'd be pretty cool. So, you know, one of the things this week that I'm going to end up doing is that I'm going away again this weekend. And it gets to be pretty tough when you go away, because it's sort of an open smorgasbord, because there's a lot of great food that my family puts out. So I think one of the things that I'm going to try to do for myself this weekend is maybe write down some goals for my meals and kind of pack some meals, because I think one of the things that you need to do when you've gotten into this sort of reality check situation and slip. Maybe you haven't paid attention to your goals so much. Maybe you haven't. Maybe you got a little comfortable. Maybe you got a little complacent. And that's okay, because it happens. But that's a good time to revisit your goals. You know, Dallas has his SMAC principles, and those are some things that I try to follow when I'm writing goals. So, you know, that might be something that I might jump into this weekend, just to say, this is how I'm going to eat for 3 days. And by the time I get back into it, it's going to remind me of the habits I built up when I first started with YRG and help me get back into it. I'm also going to focus on my workouts, because once you start eating better and you start feeling better, you start getting into the point where, hey, the workouts aren't so bad either. Because I think the workouts can be pretty intimidating too. Once you've let yourself sort of get into the place where your taste buds are anything, because for sure your taste buds don't want to exercise. So what are some of the things that you do, Stacey, when you've been on the road, or you've been trying to pull yourself out to sort of get back into that exercise? Because, you know, I think it's tough. Maybe you want to hop right back into double black diamond or, you know, diamond cutter, but some of those hour-long workouts could really kick your ass and be very intimidating.
Oh, yeah. So that's when I thank God for the fat burner, because that's a 24-minute workout, and it goes through a lot of the basic core moves of YRG. it provides a cardio workout, and it's doable, you know, especially if I've had some downtime and, you know, I'm not quite on my game. That is the perfect reintroduction for me back into YRG. That, and then I love just taking long walks because it blows steam off, and you know, it's more cardio, and it's a stress buster.
Absolutely. One of the things I love about, I'm talking about going to the lake and how I get so much time to walk, and most of the time, at least an hour of that is walking, you know, and people might underestimate that, but if you get out on a place, and if you're not on a major highway where there's a lot of busyness around you that keeps you busy, if you find something that can kind of give you a quiet experience, throw your headphones on that play nothing, but something that kind of lets your head be open and clear, I find myself, you start to think about the things that are stressing you, and once you start to sort of face that reality of the stress and kind of let it go, mentally get it off your chest and clear your head, it's like a breath of fresh air. It actually lets you begin to concentrate on relaxing. And once you start to relax, it starts to give you focus.
Absolutely. Hey, and go ahead, Robert.
Sorry about that. We actually have somebody who just called in. Who's on the line?
It's Nate.
Hey, Nate.
Hey, what's up?
What's going on, brother? How are you?
Oh, I'm doing peachy. How about yourself?
Not too bad. How's the knee?
It's wrapped up in ice right now, but it's doing better. It's doing better.
That's good. That's good. So what do you got to say? What you calling in about? You got some Macho Man memories, or you got some information on, you know, how you face reality every day?
I face reality every day just by getting up and just, there's no other way to do it. You can't hide from it. I've tried that too.
So what happens when you hide from it? What are some of the experiences that you've had when you've hidden from it? I'm guessing this probably never turns out to be a good thing, right?
No. I ended up in a severe bout of depression there, like between 2008 to 2010. And, you know, I just kind of let everything go. And there for a while, I ended up homeless because I was kind of hiding from my own reality. And I ballooned up, and it caused a lot of health problems and things like that. So it's just not a pleasant shape to be in. So one day I decided to face it all, and I'm still trying to pick myself up out of it. But it's going better.
So what are some of the things you do? Obviously, you came to YRG and you're doing that, but I know there's some other things that you've changed in your life. You know, what are some of the goals that you set for yourself, and why did you pick them, and how did you know that they were to help you, sort of get back on track?
Well, I mean, most of my goals are geared toward professional goals. I wanted to be someone that can help people. So I decided to be a paramedic, firefighter type guy, you know, be a search and rescue guy to be there in the thick of all the chaos, you know, so I can help somebody, because I've been helped a lot, and it's just kind of paying it forward. In doing that, I had to decompress, because I was so stressed out. I mean, I was eating everything. I was doing a lot more drinking than eating, which is not recommended for anybody. And so I had to decompress in a lot of different ways. I started doing meditation, and that seemed to help a lot. And just finding little ways throughout the day to just keep my mind focused, you know, looking in a mirror every morning and saying, you can do this, and just going out and doing it.
Yeah, and sometimes it's those little things. They don't have to necessarily be the big life changers. You did some big life-changing things as far as going back to school for being a paramedic. But getting up each morning and reminding yourself that, hey, this is one day, and trying to maintain an attitude that you can get up the day with a fresh start, make it a brand new day, and sort of release, like you said, decompress what happened yesterday, can really set you in the right direction. So, go ahead, man.
You just got to start each day new, you know. Before you go to sleep, just let go of that day, and then the next day is just clean slate, man.
That's cool. And I apologize if anybody's throwing anything up in the chat room. You're just going to have to call us now, 347-994-1216. I just lost my internet, so I can't see anything that's going on there. So give us a call if you've got something to say or if you have a question for us. So Nate, you were obviously a wrestling fan.
Oh, huge.
From a young age.
huge.
You know, what's one of the biggest things, biggest impressions that the Macho Man kind of left on you?
When I first was introduced to Randy Savage, he wasn't the biggest guy. You know, in the world of giants, Macho Man was an average sized dude, and it intrigued me. You know, my dad, that's how we got close, is wrestling, because my dad's a man of few words. But when wrestling came on, I mean, at 6 years old, I was sitting there right beside him watching it. And I think the first match I ever watched was the Ricky Steamboat Randy Savage match from WrestleMania 3.
That, what an introduction.
I mean, that was the coolest match that I've ever seen. It was like something like 23 near falls.
Mm-hmm.
And it just was mind-blowing.
For those who don't know, for the wrestling purists, the real big wrestling fans, that's considered one of the top, like, probably five matches of all time. It's just way up there.
It was a huge match. And then I liked the Macho King gimmick that he had after he lost the belt to Hogan, and, you know, they had their big rivalry there for a while. And then for a kid, you know, into wrestling, the biggest love story in the world was Randy and Elizabeth, mm-hmm. SummerSlam 91, and that was pretty cool. But he was just always this loud, charismatic guy that just exemplified passion. That's the best way I can describe Savage right now in my adult years. You know, I was such a big fan that I had a blue denim jacket, and I begged my mom to sew fringes on the sleeves. And I wore that thing to school in the 90s. Come on now. But I was a Savage fan. You know, so just he's going to be missed. There's not going to be
absolutely
a wrestler alive to mimic him, even come close.
And you kind of touched on one thing there, like the passion. Can you imagine when you're trying to come up on these decisions where you're stuck for a day and you're really sort of getting down on yourself for being there? Can you imagine even bottling like a tenth of the passion and the intensity he had? Tell me that wouldn't kick your ass in the next week, and you'd be wondering where you were ever at and why you were ever down.
That's right, man. And then the feud that Paige and Savage had in WCW, that was pretty cool.
Mm-hmm.
That was pretty cool. I think my favorite match was Halloween Havoc, because it just blew everything else out of the water. And even Elizabeth and Kim got into it, and it was awesome.
That's cool. So anybody else out there, like I said, if you got questions, I can't pick them up in the chat room anyway. 347-994-1216, talking about taste and reality, what you're going to do to get around that, not letting you pull it down, and any thoughts or tributes to the man, Macho Man, Randy Savage. So, hey, Robert, in your life, you've kind of had some different challenges than a lot of people who have come to YRG. A lot of us are dealing with, you know, we wanted to lose some weight. We had other issues, maybe medical issues that we had to lose weight for. And I know a couple of weeks ago you were talking about, well, I do YRG because I wanted to put on some weight. You put on 20 pounds. So sort of from a different perspective, you know, you were using YRG and you were using the motivation of it a bit differently. Is there anything that you can add to that, that maybe, you know, your downs are a little bit different than us who sort of maybe used eating as a crutch, that maybe when you face reality of your down, maybe you don't turn to food, but you had something else that you sort of have to get around to get to where you're going?
For me, the hard, especially lately, you know, it's kind of, I was thinking about that earlier. It's kind of interesting that you brought it up. You know, last week, I blew out, did something to the muscle of my leg. I don't want to say I blew it out, but I did something to it, so I took the week off of exercising. This week, I've been sick all week, so I took this week off. And it's because I wanted to, but, you know, I just didn't feel up to it. But lately, for me, being so busy with everything I'm doing for my regular job and Page and, you know, different things, motivation and finding the time are my biggest challenges. And not only did... When I'm trying to think of how to start this. When I started doing YRG, I not only, you know, was 6'2", about 160 pounds. I also had,
wow.
Yeah. So I mean, my collar bones were like poking through. You know, you could. They were very well defined. Let me put them that way. But I also have I'm trying to think of what it's called. Ganglion cyst on my left wrist, so I was wearing a wrist brace, and my back was bent because of an old injury that I had. So, you know, I had a lot of problems, and what blew me away about YRG was that it pretty much fixed all that. My back's not perfect, but it's a hell of a lot better than it ever was before. I haven't seen my wrist brace in probably 3 years.
Awesome.
So, when... Sometimes, a lot of times I lack the time. I've really got to focus on carving the time out to at least do a 20, 25-minute workout, at least do that much. But when I'm not doing that, I can tell because my back will start hurting again. The aches and pains will come back again. And, you know, as you guys know, you don't sleep as well. Your energy level is lower. But, you know, even with those, it's still hard for me to keep the motivation going.
Yeah, and I think that's a very good point too, because, you know, for us and the eating and you know, sort of relying on that and how that can be a downward spiral. It's a good thing to point out about the workouts. You step away from that for a while, it starts impacting your sleep and your body. When your limber and your tendons are loose, and you know, you can bend over and the scar tissues, you know, that is built up around any injury or around, you know, your joints that you've blasted out, it is gone. You take a couple of days off and things start to creep back in and you're not as well oiled, that definitely has an impact on your body that can kind of slow you down. So you really want to bring it back in. And those 20, 25-minute workouts, those are great. You string a couple of those together. I mean, if you can't get the 1 hour in, hopefully you can get 20 minutes in. And I know sometimes it's tough. It was tough for me this week. And hopefully I'm going to string some more of them together. And hopefully the longest I've ever been out is about a week, too. But, you know, stringing a couple of those workouts together gets you well-oiled and gets you primed back in. Because the only thing, you know, one of the things for me, those workouts are pretty good. They're pretty tough. And what you're really missing from doing the 1 hour is some of the stamina that's associated with it, you know. You do get some
Absolutely.
Of the repetition for the muscle building, and the stamina is great. But, I mean, just getting that 20 minutes in, that's going to keep you loose. It's going to keep you limber, and it's going to hold back the hands of time. And it's going to help so much else. So many other things in your life with your body, like your sleep, and that throughout the day you're going to have so much more energy and feel so much more positive because your body's going to allow you to do it. Your body's a big factor in how you feel every day.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and if you're really in a pinch, there's always Red Hot Core, 12 minutes, you know?
Oh, I love that workout. You know, I haven't actually, I was thinking about that, Stacey. I haven't done that workout in a while, and I used to love it.
That's a great point. That workout's really good. I started adding one of the things I started doing with the YRT certification and whatnot was researching some Pilates moves and looking at things like that. And they have this thing called the hundreds. If you guys, know what that is, or have you heard about it?
Yep.
So to describe to people out there what it is, it's sort of a crunch position. You're laying on your back. You scoop your abs into your spine. Your knees are pointed out in the air, and your feet and your shins are level with the floor, and your shoulders are curled up. So if you're following me, then what you do, you stick your arms out at your sides like they're wings, and you start pumping them up and down. And you do that, you know, for, what is it, 5 seconds down, 5 seconds up, while you're pumping them until you hit 100 altogether, man. That is crazy, and that'll something that after Red Hot Core, that'll destroy your abs. You'll feel that.
We've actually got another caller in. See if they're unmuted yet. There we go.
Hey,
who's on the line?
Hey, it's Steve.
Hey, Steve.
What's up? Hey, Sparky. Hey, Stacy. How's it going?
Good. How are you?
Good.
I'm getting better. Hopefully my internet's not going to be cutting out on me. My Magic Jack's having a few issues again. So I was hearing what you guys were saying about facing reality, and Stacy, Sparky, you guys know I just recently went through about with fighting a stomach flu during a 40-hour work week, and it knocked me flat on my ass. So, you know, trying to get back into my workouts, I was, like, collapsing 10 minutes in, and reality started hitting me going, man, I'm not doing these right now. And, you know, I started doubting myself, and you know how your mind can start recoiling back. What I actually had to do, as much as I've always hated my scale, I had to go and step on my scale and say, okay, well, those 30 pounds that I've lost, they're not just a figment of my imagination, right? They're real. So, you know, sometimes looking back at the things that you've done can be enough to help you with whatever reality's thrown at you.
Yeah, once you come down the road, congratulations on the 30 pounds, too, because you've been doing amazing.
Absolutely.
I mean, because you've actually had some physical issues, too, that you are battling back from. And for everything that you're trying with what I know you've been through, I think that's phenomenal. You know, when you step on it, one of the things I don't realize, I look down at my body today, and I don't know what it is, but to me, somehow, sometimes I still feel like I look like I did when I was 50 pounds ago. And it's tough because you can be your own worst critic, and I think that's good that find that spot that you can give yourself the pinch to be like, oh, yeah, this is real. Those 50 pounds are gone, which is gone. What am I doing putting myself in a position where I'm just going to ignore all of that? Because at some point when you start to slip, your mind will want to go to a place where you start to ignore things. You're going to start playing tricks on yourself. And that's it could be your own worst enemy when that happens.
Yeah. And, I mean, you hear that all the time with the people that end up eating disorders, you know, or even just people that have made drastic weight loss changes. You hear them say, I look in the mirror and I don't see a skinny person, even though sometimes they're even going so far as to be unhealthy, but they've got that mental block that says, you know, I'm still this fat person. And, you know, that's a tough block to get past.
Yeah. And I think that's where part of that reality check comes in and some of the tools that people can use. And Stacy mentioned one about, you know, placing a picture up of yourself of where you've been so you know where you're at, or place a picture of where you've been and where you are now so you can remind yourself, wow, look at that difference. What am I doing? Getting back to writing down your goals. If you are not a goal writer and you've gotten to where you are without thinking about your goals, man, hats off to you, but there comes a point in your journey where you're going to have to find some focus, because focus gets tougher and tougher the more you start to plateau. And that's something that I think it set me back. And to be honest, it's some things that until last November, I went from May 2010 to November 2010 without really having a solid goal down. I wanted to get 180 pounds is where I'm going to be. That was it. Oh, is it going to get there? I don't know. Oh, I'm going to get a YRG certification. You know what you're going to do to get there? I don't know. I just want it. I know what I want. I don't know how I'm going to get there. So at that point, I don't know how fast I'm going to get there. I don't know what I need to do. So if you haven't thought about it yet, you need to look at the SMAC principles and start thinking about goals. And you can look back at these things when you're in those funks to bring you out. So you want to do some specific and measurable goals so you can know exactly what you want to do. And if it's a goal that's too big, break it down. Make it very, very specific and get it into pieces. Make it measurable so you can look back on it. And instead of, like, I use the eating an elephant analogy, you're not going to eat an elephant in one whole bite. You're going to break it down and eat it one bite at a time, just like your goal should be. You know, you're going to make it achievable. You don't want to try to climb the entire mountain in one step. You're going to have to take different steps and use different methods and different tools to get there. You know, and it's going to help you build confidence when you're along the way. You're also going to want to make them compatible to your lifestyle. Sometimes, you know, one of the worst things you can do when you're trying to jump back out of things, and I touched on it earlier, if you're not a person that can jump right back into double black diamond and have that be a positive experience for you, if you're like, I'm going to do it because if I don't do that, I can't do anything, that's just going to be just as bad as sitting where you're at right now. Get your foot in the door if that's what it's going to take. Because if you try to bust the door down, you're going to bounce right off. And there's nothing worse than trying to succeed when you're really giving yourself a sucker punch in the process. And then all that, go ahead.
Yeah, and I mean, I forget who it was. I know I left this comment for somebody on the forum the other day. I said something to the effect of, you know, our goals are the food that makes us what we're trying to become. And try to eat something big, that's when you choke. You know? So just take tiny little bites.
Yeah, extremes aren't really, you know, the answer, especially if you're trying to get back on track. And if you're, it sounds like you're still kind of weak from the flu, even maybe, instead of just full-blown workouts, I would try some stretching and breathing and doing something like that to get back into your body and to stay a little limber, but without overtaxing your body, which sounds like it's still recovering.
Well, that might be partially because of my magic jack, but I mean, I'm actually going on my third week, and I'm not giving up, rolling over, playing dead. That whole, oh my God, I'm not doing this, was eliminated when I stepped on my scale. You know, that was shocking me right back to where I needed to be. But I had the flu, and then I had my assistant manager off for vacation for a week, so I got just hammered with another 40-hour week of extremely hard shifts. And then this week, my boss is out of town for a conference, so I'm getting hammered for a third week. So, you know, it's just running me down.
Well, I would just do what you can, and you'll get back into it when things ease up.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I'm squeezing things in on my coffee break, like what moves I can do at work on my coffee breaks, sitting there just working on my breathing and my focus before.
That's what Dallas always said. If nothing else, just breathe, you know? And
right.
Sometimes that can turn things around in the moment.
Yeah, relax, adapt, and breathe. Yeah, I think you're totally on it. I mean, you've really come on the fight, even with being sick and with having all those things in. It's amazing to me, everything that you're fitting in, even finding time to get back on the site and be like, here's what's going on with me, you know, what's going on with you, and trying to motivate people. I noticed HD in the chat room was mentioning Mark Miro's book. And, you know, I'm going to plug that because I love it. It's How to Be the Happiest Person on the Planet by Mark Miro. And championofchoices.org, I believe, is a place you can go to look at it. But in his book, he's got a chapter on letting it go, forgiving and forgetting. And, you know, he's talking about other people there. But, you know, for our discussion tonight, one of the things that he talks about is being hurt by people and becoming angry and becoming confused and dwelling on negative feelings, saying he who angers you controls you. And, you know, I've talked about, you know, we can be our own worst enemies. We can take sucker punches on ourselves and hold ourselves back. And that person who angers us and controls us, that can be us. That can be us consciously. That can be us subconsciously. You know, and then you're going to start being consumed by this anger, and you're going to start to fall into it. It's really a tough game to play with yourself. And one of the things that you have to learn how to do is sort of forgive yourself for those things you do. Forgive yourself for that extra slice of pizza you had, the workout that you didn't get in, because the anger you get from at yourself, and the more you try to hide from yourself, the more you're in away from the tools that can help you really move on. So,
by the way, Sparky, did you see my pizza recipe on the Team YRG?
Yes, that was on your Wednesday post, right?
No, but it's on Team YRG. But if you're into pizza, you've got to try that. It's gluten free.
I do a Bob's Red Mill gluten free pizza cut crust. He does potato and rice flour in it, and then I get a mixture of manchego and goat cheese and put on top of there. And there are so many different things, and then just a ton of vegetables. There's so many things that you can make that are great alternatives. And the funny thing is, I've got two packages of that gluten-free crust down there, and I still ate a regular pizza.
Well, you know, hey, it was your birthday.
Yeah, and sometimes you go for what's easy, and sometimes what's easy isn't the best thing for you. Sometimes you got to work for something, and, you know, you never really appreciate what's easy. And, you know, sometimes when you work hard for something, you got to recognize that, and that makes you appreciate it a little bit more. So, anyway, anybody else out there that wants to give us a call, 347-994-1216? What's good?
We've actually got somebody else that's called into the chat room. Called now. Who's on the line?
Hey, guys.
Hey.
How you doing?
You made it. What's up, bro?
Hey, man. I'm running a little late tonight. So but I actually had to come up. I had to get things, you know, in order here. I had to come up to my favorite little corner sports bar, get me a beer and a cigar, and sit down and get prepared. So,
nice.
So I'm here.
That's the best kind of preparation, man.
So how you guys doing?
We're doing great.
Doing fantastic. We're doing fantastic. Thanks for calling. If everybody doesn't know this, Ray Lloyd's on the line. So we were talking tonight, Ray, a little bit about, you know, facing reality and sort of getting past things, and also asking people to call in because we were dedicating the show to the memory of in the life of Macho Man, Randy Savage. So, you know, you probably know more about that than any of us do here. So if you had any thoughts on that, you know, please feel free.
Yeah, you know, just like everybody else, I mean, I was totally shocked when I heard about it on Friday. I actually work now with Full Sail University here in Orlando, which is one of the top arts and media universities in the country. And then I was a buddy of mine, I walked by his desk, he actually flagged me down, and I walked by his desk, and he said, come here. And then he had it on this monitor. The story just broke, and I literally remember looking at it, you know, and it was a total first stage of grief was denial, you know, and I was just like, and I literally said, no, this can't be, you know, that's a joke, somebody's pulling a joke. And I said, look, I gotta make a phone call. And I actually went back to my desk, got my phone, and the first person I called was Paige. And, you know, and when Paige answered the phone, Paige said, I've heard. When Paige said, I've heard, I knew that it was true. And I tell you honestly, we talked for a few minutes, and I went back to my desk, and my friends that were around me, they were just like, you okay? And I was like, Yeah, I was like, I think I would be okay. I'd be okay. And then I took a minute, went outside, called a couple people, and then that's when it really set in. And, man, I tell you what, I mean, I just really got this, you know, welled up with emotion. And I, you know, I just really couldn't control it. I actually ended up leaving work the rest of the day. And but I can tell you honestly, I didn't think it would hit me that hard or that suddenly. And, you know, I think what happened for me was that, I mean, Friday was, it continued to be a hard day. I mean, every time I thought I was kind of done with it, I would, you know, someone would say something or whatever, and I would just, you know, just get emotional all over again. And as I went through the weekend, I started to realize that I think a lot of what was for me is, I mean, I've lost, like Paige and a lot of the guys in the business, I've lost so many good friends over the last few years. Obviously, the main one being Chris Canyon about this time last year. And I think I never really allowed myself to fully grieve the way I needed to about Canyon. And so I think all that just kind of came to a head, you know, hearing about Randy. But yeah, I tell you what, I mean, I have some great memories of Randy. I mean, like so many people do, you know. And I remember, you know, my first official day coming to work for WCW, actually going to work, you know, to wrestle. I'd been, you know, employed for a few months, and they were getting everything ready for my debut and everything. And then my first official match, actually, that they were going to have me do was actually in our syndicated show in Orlando, and it was actually at MGM Studios. It was the last show we would take there before we switched to Universal. And I walked in the locker room, and there was a couple people kind of scattered in and out, but Macho was in there, and I never forget, you know, I mean, I remember seeing him, and of course, like everybody, I was like, even though I'd been in the business for several years at that point, I'd never met him before, and it was like, you know, I felt like a kid, you know, and I went over, introduced myself, and we started talking a little bit. And I still had my bag. I was pulling my bag behind me. He said, hey, well, come over here and sit down. And I went, I sat down next to him, and literally spent like 15, 20 minutes just telling me, you know, kind of what to expect and kind of how things would be at that level and this and that and what to look out for. And, you know, and it was just like, I mean, I remember to this day, it's one of my best memories of WCW because, you know, he didn't have to do that. I mean, you know, he was he's one of the icons in the business, and it just meant, you know, to my dying day, it means so much that he took that time to do that. And that's one of those things where I think when you're at that level, you don't realize the impact it has on somebody. You know, I don't think he ever did, but it stuck with me all these years. And I think stuff like that was what, you know, I got to see the human side of him that most people don't get to see. They see the icon, you know. And yeah, it was just brought back all those emotions. And I still don't think I'm totally, you know, over it yet. I don't know if I will be for a while, but he's, the wrestling world, you know, the sports world all the way around, you know, the entertainment, whatever, lost just such an iconic figure. They really did.
He was such a dynamic, impactful, passionate, like, that guy was always turned on. One of the things that, you know, I didn't realize, and for sort of from a fan aspect, when you watch him and you see him on screen, you see the intensity, you were always entertained, but you talk sort of about the human aspect. I don't know if you got to see Dallas's YouTube clips where he was doing his tribute of him, but he was talking a little bit about that and about how, you know, he was looking to call and basically, I don't know if he was thanking Savage for something, but gave him a call. And at one point, I guess he was walking out somewhere and Randy was like, come over here, and basically gave him a big hug. Was like, yeah.
Good sir.
It was basically, thanks, I appreciated that. And, you know, it goes to show, and I think all you guys, and a lot of people don't know, everybody, you guys have a big heart, and those guys have really big hearts, and, you know, sometimes you don't see that past the personality that comes across, you know, on the TV.
Yeah, you know, and you know, as much as I kind of gradually got to know Randy, there was a point where I had injured my ankle really bad, and Randy had injured his knee, and we were both actually staying there in Atlanta, and even though he made his home, you know, down here in Florida, but he was up there for several days, and we ended up doing our rehab together, you know, and as far as our injuries, and that's where I really got to know him, and, you know, and to see that personal side of him, and that became our running joke up until the last time I saw him, you know, and that was, and we'd always say, you know, when I would see him, I'd say, hey, Mach, how's the knee? And he'd say, ah, pretty good. At least how's the ankle? That was just like our running little intro when we see each other, you know. And that was that human side of him that I got to kind of, you know, grab hold of and hold on to, you know, that was kind of like it was pretty cool, you know, because that's the one thing I think that you know, Paige and I talked about it before, even though, you know, we were able to make it to that top level. And of course, Paige, you know, had such tremendous success and I had what I consider my fair amount as well. But still, the walk in the locker room, I always, you know, have said, you know, the greatest thrill of my entire career at WCW was being able to sit down next to guys that I really admired, like Savage and Sting and Flair and Dusty, and be accepted as a peer among that group, you know, and that was, you know, because I knew I'd earned that, because that's just not that, those guys don't give that respect out. I mean, you have to earn it, you know, and Paige is a prime example. I mean, you know, Paige will be the first to tell you, I mean, you know, so much of Paige's rise to that next level in WCW was solely due to, not solely, but a lot of it was due to the fact that the feud he had with Randy, you know, it really elevated him. And he needed that. He was at that point where he needed to go head to head with someone of that level. And Randy, you know, stepped up and allowed that to happen, you know. And that was, you know, and of course, the course of Paige's career changed forever after that, you know. So, go ahead, sorry.
That's another thing he was talking about when he was getting him over. And Randy, I guess at one point was like, I think I'll take the diamond cutter. And it was just like, yeah. What? And Paige was like, what? It was like, which was pretty amazing, you know. When you watch some of the footage of the people talking about it, especially Paige, sort of holding back some of the emotions, like you were talking about, you know, everybody felt it, and they're recognizing it. And you know, with some of the losses that you guys have had, I think you guys have experienced so much of it more than people have, you know, in regular life. That man, it's a lot to deal with.
It is, you know, it's just one of those things that, you know, when I tell people who aren't really fans of the wrestling business, and I tell them how many friends I've lost over the last, you know, 10 years, and I tell you what, I mean, this last 10 years has gone by so fast, you know. I mean, you know, it's just been amazing to me how quick it's gone by. And then I'll go back and I look at the list of buddies that I've lost, and I tell people, and they just can't believe it. They can't believe that there's been that many guys. Yeah, well, and girls too. I mean, people like Sherry Martel, who I was just great friends with. You know, I mean, but you know, all of them have gone. You know, and it's just, man, you just shake your head. You know, and for whatever reason, people want to align all that with. I mean, it's just, it's still a staggering number. You know, and it's sad. It really is.
Yeah, Mark Merrow, actually, there's a list. You know about Mark's list, right? Right.
Oh yeah, right. Absolutely, yeah.
Yeah, he goes and does his high school talks, and it's like this huge list of people that he knows through the business or whatever that have died, and it's just huge.
He does on a big mounted piece of like poster board, and I think he now puts it up on the screen too, and it's just called the Wrestling's Death List, you know, and there's over 30 names on it, and it's just and the thing is, like, Mark and I both, Paige too, like, we knew all those people. Some of them I knew very well. Some of them were my dear friends. And, you know, and it would get to the point to where, you know, it would happen so often. It was like every time, you know, the phone rang, you almost were like, oh, my God, you know, if I saw a wrestler's name come up on my phone, it was like, okay, well, who are they going to tell me he's passed away this time? You know, and it's just, yeah, it's sad, you know, it really is. But you know, I mean, you know, the thing about that I choose to remember so much about Randy is that, you know, I remember Dusty telling me one time, and, you know, of course, Dusty's played such a big part in mine and Paige's life. You know, I remember him telling me one time that one of the things he's most proud of is the fact that you didn't have to preface his name with the word "the pro wrestler." And Randy is absolutely into that category. You know, I mean, he crossed over into mainstream with the Slim Jim commercials and everything like that. And you know, those certain few, you know, that really are iconic, and we throw that word around a lot in wrestling, but there really are only a certain few people who deserve that title, and Randy, hands down, obviously was one of those. But you know, and I can tell you, you know, firsthand experience, I was never fortunate enough to I don't even know if I should say fortunate enough to get in the ring with Randy, because I can tell you right now, as much as I admire the guy, I wouldn't want to take that freaking elbow off the top rope. Because you know, it's just one of those things where, you know, it's like, that's just like sticking your head out there and letting your buddy swing a baseball bat at it. You just know it's going to hurt. It just depends on how bad. You know? but you know, and I've talked to crazy. I'm sure you have too, Rob. But there's some times when, yeah, I know for a fact there's at least one time when Randy literally knocked Paige out with it, you know. And
yeah.
But that's Randy, you know. That's Randy. That was Randy. I mean, you know, he's gonna bring it, you know. And that's, you know, you had to bring your A game when you're in the ring with him. That was just how it is. But you know, he was also one of those guys. And it's another thing that I always associate with iconic guys like Flair and Piper and the Dusty, and those guys really are. They are who they are 24 hours a day. It's just when they're getting in front of the crowd, it's just that's who they are with the volume turned up. You know, I mean, anybody that was around Randy when he was, you know, and there's so many people out there that knew Randy better than I did, you know, but over the longer course of his career and his life. But, you know, those 5 years that, and actually, you know, the few years after that, because I was actually an agent with TNA when Dusty was Booker there, when really it was pretty much Randy's last, you know, appearance in a ring, because when he did the thing with TNA with us, and I was there for that, and kind of a little reunion for all of us. But you know, I mean, make no mistake about it, I mean, Randy was, when he was just being Randy away from wrestling, he's still a pretty intense guy, you know, and that's just how he lived. And but that, you know, it was who he was, you know, and that was the thing. I mean, if you got to know him, I mean, there was no sugarcoating it. I mean, you know, he was gonna say and do whatever he felt he wanted to do, and it's either you went along with it, or you got out of the way. That's how you dealt with it, you know.
Now, let me ask you this, Ray. You know, a lot of people on here know how close I was to Chris. You know, he and I got, and that, you know, that really affected me.
Sure,
I can't imagine being, you know, being you and knowing, having that effect, you know, times 30. How do you deal with that, man?
Yeah. You know, like I said, you know, Rob, I mean, I really think that I allowed myself to kind of suppress it, you know, a lot. You know, over the last few years, and like I said, I mean, just when word of Randy's passing, you know, came, I think for whatever reason, I don't know why, but it just, you know, it just brought that up, a lot of emotions to the surface. I think I'd been kind of suppressing, and I think I don't know. I think maybe sometimes that's, you know, in our business, sometimes, you know, you're that's kind of the way we get conditioned, you know, to not necessarily supposedly let stuff like that affect us, you know, and it's like, you know, you accept it, you move on. But, I mean, we're all human, you know, there comes that breaking point. And I got to be honest with you, I don't know. I couldn't put into words how I deal with it. I mean, there's times when I can tell you this, that there's times when I start thinking about over the years, or the last, especially the last 10 years, and I could just be driving down the road in the middle of the day, nothing to do with wrestling, and just really get tore up about it, you know, because I start thinking of, you know, guys like Jerry Tooth, the Wall, who was a great friend of mine. You know, of course, Eddie, you know, I mean, you know, guys like that, I mean, you know, that was friends with, just like so many other guys were, and you just go, man, you know, I mean, they, you know, like, there's so many of those guys' numbers I still have in my phone, I just can't take it out, you know, I like Chris's number, I just can't take it out of my phone, you know, and,
yeah.
I don't know if it's just that last little bit of him that I kind of hold on to, you know, but, yeah, I think for me, a lot of it is you know, just I've kind of suppressed it, you know, and I don't think I've really completely dealt with it yet. And a lot of it is, I mean, I've gone to, you know, to very few wrestlers' funerals because, you know, it's just too hard, you know, and you know, I in my own way say goodbye and you know, whatever. But I think that, In some ways, you know, might have helped me, you know, kind of turn that page. But yeah, there's just no easy way around it. I mean, it's just sad. I mean, I was just talking to somebody today about, you know, Louis Spicoli when he passed away. You know, I mean, I remember him sitting down right for me and catering, you know, on that Thursday before, and we just had a meeting, you know, and the WCW executives have basically said, look, if anybody has an issue with, you know, pain medication or anything, you know, you can come to us, your job won't be in jeopardy, we'll get you the help you need, whatever. And he came, sat down with me and said, you know, I'm gonna, you know, he's having an issue with, you know, muscle relaxers, and I'm quitting cold turkey. And I was just like, look, you can't do that. That's something, you just don't quit cold turkey. You know, it's just too strong. And I said, look, you know, they've already said, you know, you can get some help for it, whatever. But, you know, he was like, no, I can do it. And then, unfortunately, you know, 3 days later, you know, he overdosed. And, you know, and that was just one of those where I was just like, you know, you run through your head, my God, could I have talked to him for 10 minutes longer? Could I have done something, you know? Because you just don't think it's going to happen. And then, bam, it does, you know? And, yeah, it's just it's I don't know if I figured out how to deal with it. So yeah,
no.
it's hard.
I think one of the great things you said, Ray, and it's funny because it's something that Mark's related to when he's been on here before. One of the things he says is erase all the numbers in your phone with people who don't bring a positive influence in your life. And
yeah.
Even though you're keeping some of those guys' phone numbers in your phone, it's because they had such a positive impact on your life. You know, one of the
right.
things that we've talked about tonight is trying to reach out to those people. And even if they're not around, trying to remember and think of what they would say to you to sort of pull you out of a funk, because sometimes,
yeah.
you know, if you can't do it yourself, you got to grab what you can and tap into that positivity to get you out of where you're at.
Yeah, you know, that's a good point, because I can honestly tell you there's been times when, you know, over this last year when I've accidentally, you know, trying to find somebody else's number, come across Chris's number, and man, it always just makes me, you know, I just you know, break out in a quick smile, you know, and mm-hmm. and that makes me feel good, because I know that, you know, my, you know, instinctively my first memories of them are good memories, you know, and there's, and that's always, yeah, that's a source of strength, you know, because you know, it's hard sometimes, because I look around and again, I try to visualize, you know, like what he went through the last couple years of his life, and you know. And when he really wouldn't accept anybody trying to help him, you know. So, but yeah, it's, I mean, the, you know, I mean, I know this is, you know, more of a show about, you know, Randy tonight, so I don't want to get off on a tangent about that. But I mean, it's yeah, you know, it's a thing that that, yeah, and obviously with Randy's situation, I mean, this wasn't like, I mean, you know, there's, you know, of course, the preliminary speculation whether it was something to do with maybe a heart attack or whatever, you know. And people are going to speculate as to how that happened or why that happened, and I'm sure we all, you know, what I'm, you know, implying there. But I mean, but you know, the thing is someone like Randy is, you know, it's wasted energy to sit there and say, well, you know, how did he die? How did he die? It's so much better to just talk about how the guy lived, you know, and how many people's lives he affected by living his life, you know, you know, and I heard Arn Anderson say something one time in a tribute about Dusty, and I think it really applies to Savage as well, as he lived a life that most people only dream of, you know, and
absolutely
he crammed a whole lot of living into 58 years, and that's, you know, and I think it's, you know, like I said, I think it's, you know, I think the thing that I've liked to hear the most over the last several days is that, you know, nobody's, and not to say that Randy was a bad guy at all in any way, but no one's tried to paint him as being a saint either, you know? I mean, he was a human, he was a guy, he was, I mean, you know, you'd be hard-pressed to find a saint anywhere in the wrestling business. but you know, but there are a lot of great guys with big hearts, you know, and Randy was one of those guys. I mean, he was super intense, but you know, he was a good guy too, man. I mean, you know, he helped people like Paige, you know, who's been forever indebted to him, you know, for helping him get to that next level. And like I said, guys like me who, you know, when I first came in, he didn't have to spend two seconds with it, you know, but he did, you know, you know, there's a picture that was posted on my Facebook where, when we were in Jacksonville, there was this kid I always, for like 4 years, that did some benefit in my hometown for, named Josh Lewis. And Josh had just had this major, major surgery, where he had cast on both of his lower legs. He had his left arm in a cast. He had a halo. On you know, with the, you know, where they drill the screws into your head, and he was in a wheelchair.
Wow.
And then one of the guys he wanted to meet was Mach, you know. So I went and got Randy. I was like, Randy, just, you know, this little buddy of mine wants to meet you. You got a few minutes, and you can imagine at that point, man, everybody's pulling him in every direction. And he made time to come over. Not only come over to meet him, but just visit with the family for like 10-15 minutes. Well, he didn't have to
wow.
do that, you know. And yeah, it was just, you know, and I had forgotten all about that until that she posted that picture, and it's Randy leaning right over the chair, you know, giving him a thumbs up, you know. And you know, those are the moments that a lot of the general, you know, fans, you know, don't know about. But I don't think they'd be surprised to see, you know, to find it out either, you know.
Right, and I think that's one of the biggest things that I'm learning from this experience with YRG and dealing with Dallas and, you know, talking with you, Ray, a couple times you've been on the show, because you're as much a part of the community, I think, as anybody else is. And Mark Miro, you know, the
yeah.
whole aspect of paying it forward, you know,
right.
you can focus on yourself, but that paying it forward part, that's not only helping somebody else. I can't tell you how much it's even helped me when I'm either helping somebody else or I'm talking to somebody else, and I'm just a regular guy, but
yeah.
you know, it lifts me up too while it's doing it. And those are times that I can really focus on when I'm down and kind of drawing those people that I've helped lift it up to actually help lift me up.
Yeah, you know, and I always, you know, one of the first things I learned in wrestling is, you know, to definitely steal, and that when you steal from the best, you know. And so, he's not both big on quotes. And one of my, even though it's an old cliche, but like Paige says, you know, cliches are cliches for a reason, you know, because they're true, you know. And that's and one of the my favorite quotes is the first person I heard say it. I don't know who it really started with was Zig Ziglar, you know, the big motivational speaker. He always says, you know, in order to get what you want, just help other people get what they want. You know, when you help other people, then you do things for other people. It's amazing how it comes back to you. You know, even if, obviously that's not the reason you do it, but it's amazing how, you know, like you said, paying it forward, how it does come back to you. You know, and you know, it's and that's one of the things that I've always tried to do. I certainly know. I mean, you know, Paige always says. I was just thinking about this earlier tonight. You know, Paige always says, without Dusty Rhodes, and there wouldn't be Diamond Dallas Page. Well, I can tell you right now, without Diamond Dallas Page, there would never have been a Glacier, you know, because he, you know, and Page knows, I mean, one of my favorite, probably my favorite quote of all time is, and I got it from one of my college coaches, is it's not what you know and it's not who you know, it's who's willing to say they know you, you know, who's willing to go to bat for you. And that comes down to your work ethic and who you are as a person. Without Page ever going to bat to Eric Bischoff for me, I would have never had a career at that level, you know, and
wow.
And so, yeah, you know, so by Paige, you know, doing for me and doing for Canyon and so many other kids like Lash LaRue, Disco, so many of those people that really honestly we wouldn't have had a chance to get in front of, you know, Eric and be at that level without Paige doing for us, you know, and in return, I mean, of course, Paige, you know, he's the king of, you know, great work ethic, but, it came back to him. I mean, look what he got out of it, you know, by helping so many others, you know, so it's, yeah, it's, and that's my favorite quote. That's, you know, I love that quote because it's so true, you know. It really is.
That's a great example too, because like you said, Paige helped Canyon get to his spot, and Canyon turned around and got Shannon Moore.
Look how many people he helped have a career.
Yeah, there's like eight of the best cruiserweights and active today.
Hurricane.
Jimmy Yang Wang. However you.
Yeah.
Whichever order it is.
Either way it works.
Yeah. Cody.
You're right.
Yeah. Not Cody Deaner. Who's the other guy I'm thinking of? He was in WWE. Anyway, yeah, there was like eight different guys. Yeah.
Yeah. And you know, it is true. I mean, it is. I mean, you know, and even if it, you know, even if it doesn't come back to you in the way that maybe you think or hope, I mean, it does in some way, you know, because at the end of the day, heck, if it just makes you sleep better at night, you know, it was worth it, you know? So, and, you know, that's why I'll always be indebted to Paige, you know, and he knows that because, you know, I think of all the people that he could have, you know, kind of chosen to go to bat for, you know, I mean, I wasn't necessarily begging him, you know, obviously I was trying to get to that level and like some of the other guys, but it was what I did when I didn't think Paige was looking, you know, that impressed him. You know, and you know, that's when, and you know, that's like learning from guys like Dusty and Paige and those guys. You know, that's all I say. That, you know, the greatest teachers are people who are teaching when they don't think that they're teaching. You know, and when they're not, they don't, you know, aren't consciously trying to teach. You know, and you still learn something from them. So you know, that's to me, that's how I gauge people I want to follow. You know, people like that. And so. And by the way, where is Pace tonight? Why is he not on the show? Where is he?
You know the story.
I take all that back. I take all that back on Pace. No, I'm just kidding.
Well, I was just gonna. I was gonna kind of chime in on that because, and it kind of goes along with your question. I think, you know, with sort of believing in people, and you know, Dallas has actually taken that to a level with us and Team YRG a couple weeks ago.
Right.
He turned I don't know if you know, but he turned the show over to myself, Sparky, Stacy, who's on the line, and Robert, and now it's our show.
Yeah.
Which,
you know what?
Which,
and,
which is pretty cool.
Yeah, I did know that.
Okay.
And I'll tell you what, I mean, and you guys, I mean, yeah, I know that you already know this, but I mean, you know, Paige, I mean, anything that's got Paige's name attached to it, he doesn't take lightly. So that just speaks volumes about you guys, man, that he trusts you enough to put that in your hands. You know, it really does. So. you know, hats off to you guys, man.
Oh, yeah, that reminds me. You know, I told Ray, I told you this yesterday. The person I was talking about was Sparky, that you basically have an invitation anytime you wanted to jump on the show, you're more than welcome.
Oh, yeah.
So that was Sparky who said that.
Well, I
don't.
That, man.
Yeah, and I don't think Stacy would have too much of a complaint about that either. Although you've been very quiet lately, Stacy.
I'm just listening. I'm listening to all the stories.
Stacy, I didn't know you were on tonight. What the heck? You've been quiet over there. So, but
yeah.
I appreciate that, guys. I really do. And you know, I mean, I just, you know, like I said, Paige means everything to me. I mean, I always, like I said, I always refer to Paige as like my crazy big brother, you know. But I say that with all the respect in the world, you know. And anybody knows Paige knows what I'm talking about.
That's cool. But that's very cool.
Yeah. So, and I got to tell you guys, I mean, I'll tell you something now when it's on the radio, so I can own it. Like Paige says, I put it off for the longest time, but I actually tomorrow morning. I'm actually going to order, you know, his new YRG system because I don't have it. And I've been telling him I'm going to do it forever. So I put a little note on my monitor on my screen. The morning I wake up, I'm ordering it. So
awesome.
I'm getting started with it. Yeah. So Katina, I've made a little bit of a private little pact there to get a little mission together. So that's my first step. I haven't even told him I'm going to do that. So I'll go ahead and like I've always told Paige, you know, deliver more than you promise. So I'll go ahead and do it, then I'll tell it.
Well, that's gonna fit you like a T. I mean, with your background and whatnot. Do you still do any of the martial arts or anything like that? Or are you still practicing that? Or?
Yeah, I still do, and you know, and I try to get back to my hometown, which is not real far from here. It's only about 3 hours from here, in Orlando, and I try to. My instructors are still, and they're still at that level to where every time I think that I'm just about to get, you know, pretty darn good, I just go back and work out with them, you know, and then I get humbled again. So it's really humbling when they consider that you know that both of them are, let's just say, you know. Well into retirement, and they seem to still have throw me around with not much effort. So,
so Ray, now that you've joined, you can get on Team YRG as soon as you're
absolutely.
Yeah, we want
absolutely.
To see you on there.
I'm definitely.
And
you know what,
you
Paige. Paige had talked to me about that, and I was telling him I definitely want to jump on there. So I definitely will.
How's that shoulder doing anyway, Ray?
You know what? It's still messed up. So that's one of the reasons why I'm going to the YRG right now is because I've already, you know, I talked to Paige about it and you know this is I've put together a little bit of a game plan of how to approach it and still work around the shoulder injury. And then I'm trying to rehab it as best I can. I mean, I go by that philosophy of let me get it as strong as I can, and then if I forget to have surgery, then I'll have the surgery with some of my shoulders as strong as it can be going into the surgery rather than making it just weak and weak and weak and then, you know, have to go in and still, you know, be even further behind the eight ball. So I'm going to do everything I can as far as YRG to strengthen it, and then have the surgery. So, and that way it'll be a faster recovery. And then Paige and I are actually talking about documenting the whole process once the surgery happens to really see how quick I can get back from it and of course implementing YRG as much as possible in that.
Yeah. Oh, that's awesome. Did you see any of his footage when he did his knee and how he was getting the mobility back in his knee after he got it done last summer?
Wow. Yeah, and that was one of the things that really motivated me because I remember back at that and that's. You know, even though Paige and I have two totally different personalities, obviously, but we have that. That's one of the things I think that bonds us is that, you know, I have that same drive, you know, that Paige has. You know, it's like, you know, the best way to get me to do something is tell me what I can't do, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And so this is something to where, you know, I've made a commitment, you know, to myself and to Paige to really see how much I can take, you know, the YRG and really, really get the most out of it. And, like a lot of guys, I mean, because of the shoulder, I mean, I've got, you know, I think I still look respectable, but I'm a little soft right now. So we got to get rid of that. So the YRG is definitely going to be my route to doing that.
That's good. Well, you doing it. I mean, I think the whole community is going to be completely honored that you're doing it. And if you make an appearance on the show, you know, I think it's fantastic for us to be able to talk to you and hear what you have to say because man, you got great stuff. Everybody who stopped in and said something, including yourself, the best things to say, and it's all true, and it's all from the heart. And that's what YRG and Team YRG is all about.
It is, you know, and I'm really, I've always told Paige I supported him with this, and I did. From my heart, I supported him 100%. But, I don't think I ever did near as much as I could legwork wise to help him promote it. And, when we were all having lunch together, you know, about a month or so ago, Rob, you know, we were talking about,
mm-hmm.
you know, I mean, you spend 10 minutes with Paige and you see how much, I mean, this truly is like his life's work. I mean, this is, if he could be remembered for this, I think he would just as well be remembered for this as he would his wrestling career. You know, because,
absolutely.
You know, he, and the way I look at it is like, you know, in wrestling, he touched people's lives, but in YRG, he's changing people's lives. And there's a big difference, you know?
Yeah.
And that's Paige. That's who he is, you know? I mean, he's, that's the kind of guy he is. You know, he's a freaking giver, man. He is.
Well, he's, through YRG, and I'll say it as many times as I can for people to hear it. And, you know, if people don't believe what it does, I mean, people try these P90Xs, all this other crap, and they're getting out and hurting themselves. They're going out and doing it for, like, you know, 30 days, and then they're done. I've been doing this for a year, and I don't lost 50 pounds. I'm not a big guy. I'm, like, 6'2". I was, like, 230 when I started. I'm 180 now, 183 about. And I was on acid reflux medication twice a day. Doctor prescribed, had to take it. I was diagnosed with obstructive sleep apnea, and I was on a BiPAP machine that forced air in my throat at night, so I wouldn't stop breathing. And my doctor was threatening me with high blood pressure medication. Within, I don't know how many months, by October, my blood pressure was down. I was off the stomach meds completely. Didn't even have to, I don't have to take them. I stopped taking my medication. I had like a prescription that would refill automatic every month. Stopped taking it. I went and had a physical. Yeah, it is. I went this year, had a physical. My blood pressure was down from like almost 140 to over high 80s to 112 over 72, consistent. And I got a study for my sleep apnea, and they told me, well, I still have a mild case. If I don't show symptoms, I don't have to be on my machine, and I don't show symptoms. So I recorded a video when I first got to Team YRG saying, I want to kick this machine to the curb, and it's gone. And I can't tell you
right.
how all those things in your life are handcuffs, especially if you have issues, physical health issues, because of how you treated yourself so poorly for so long. And if it wasn't for Paige and YRG, I wouldn't have been off of any of that. I would have been where I was physically with that. And not only that, all that bad physical, you know, condition that I was in that was bringing down my mental condition, my positivity and everything, it wasn't there. It was non-existent. Totally gone.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, and honestly, I mean, and it's not so much, I mean, you know, this is one of those things that Paige and I differ on me. I think for whatever reason, like Paige believes in some of the conspiracy theories out there, and I don't really buy into all
just
that.
A few,
but,
yeah, just a few, yeah,
just a few. but you know, but the one that we all know is pretty true is the fact that, you know, whether it's on purpose or not, I mean, the big time medicine companies, you know, control the medical market to where, you know, I mean, that's you know, and they handcuff the doctors so much is like, you know, prescribe medication, prescribe a pill, a lotion, or something to, you know,
yep.
to treat the, you know, the sickness rather than actually. I mean, honestly, if you think about it, I mean, if we were able to, you know, spend the money to actually, you know, get stuff, you know, okay through insurance, that would be good, healthy things that we could do. You know, I mean, just think of how much healthier this country would be, this world would be. But
yep.
You know, and it's funny. I was just watching an old stand-up clip of Chris Rock recently. He was a stand-up act, and he was talking about it. He said, you know, the money's in the medicine, not in the cure. And he said, one of the things he said we can build a rocket that goes to the moon, but we can't build an El Dorado where the bumper won't fall off. You know, and that was kind of the same thing. Is, you know, I mean, we can do it, but you know, whether it's the medical companies, you know, our medical companies, whatever, you know, there's a reason why that it's not being addressed, you know, and that's sad because, you know, I mean, the obesity rate, childhood obesity is out of control, you know, and I mean, and let's face it. I mean, the chances, if you're a fat kid, chances are you're going to be a fat adult. You know, that's just how it is. You know, and then the scary part is, even if you're a skinny kid, these days there's a good chance you're going to be a fat adult. You know, and you know, that's why, you know, and this is why when Robin, we had that lunch that day, and I was, you know, we talked to Paige, you know, a couple hours, and you know, and I really started listening to what he had to say, and you know this, Rob, but I don't know if the rest of the you guys know, but I've got my master's degree in health education. You know, as I was a health education teacher for 14 years, you know, and I always felt like that, you know, that I was always pretty up on that, but you know, I respect, you know, Paige's drive and his ambition, and I know his work ethic. And I'm at the point now where I haven't in the next couple of days, I'm going to call him over the weekend and talk to him, and I'm going to say, all right, look, I know you're on top of everything right now. All right, teach me. Catch me up on stuff. You know, tell me what you've learned. You know, and let me take it in. Let me absorb it, and let me learn from you, because I know how passionate he is about what he does, and he lives it. You know, it's not something he just preaches. He lives it. It's something that I'm finally at that point where I'm kind of excited to say, okay, well, you know, let me see where this can take me, you know, because and that's why I didn't do it a few years ago, because, you know, even though Paige was all passionate about it, I wasn't really sure how much Paige knew or didn't know, you know, but now, after I listen to him talk, and I hear not only his passion, but I hear his level of education, you know, that he's done to put himself through to actually learn the ins and outs of the human body and physiology and anatomy and stuff. So now I can say, okay, well, all right, Paige, you know, and I'm not going as a skeptic. I'm going in as basically very much an optimist and saying, okay, you got me excited about this. Teach me, you know, and so I'm excited about where we can go with this. I really am.
Well, Ray, I can say Dallas has helped me in ways I never thought I'd be helped. I'm down 180 pounds. Like almost
awesome.
Football player, and
yeah.
Really, after literally a lifetime of yo-yo dieting and binge eating, and I had to do a lot of inner work to get to where I am, but I also needed the mechanics of, you know,
right,
what to eat and how to move and just how to treat my body, you know. And by the way,
right,
Robert, you needed help gaining weight, man. Why didn't you just ask me?
Or me.
I can help you that at any time, okay?
I will let you know, yeah, because I need to get back into it like I used to, where I used to just kick out an hour and a half without a problem.
Yeah, but honestly, I mean, you know, like, you know, people, I know they probably, you know, joke with you a lot, Rob. They say, oh, my gosh, it's a problem I'd love to have. But, you know, for you, it is a serious problem. It's like, hey, you know what, I want to be able to put on some weight. And it is just as serious of a problem, you know, as an issue as people that are trying to lose weight, you know, and that's one of those things that people, I think, sometimes take a little bit lightly, but I know, you know, you and I both know Paige, you know, Paige will take you serious and say, okay, well, let's figure out a way to help you do that, you know, let's get you to the weight, you know, whether that's go up in weight or come down in weight, you know, and it sounds like with Paige, you know, it's, you know, that's the one thing I know I've got to deal with Paige. I was like, because I'm at like 250 to 255 right now, and then he was like, what do you want to get down to? I was like, you know, 235, I think I'll be good, you know, and he's like, we're going to 225. I was like, okay. He goes, you look great at 225. I'm like, I don't know, let's get to 235 and then we'll talk, you know. But it's always, Paige is always like, okay, you know, let's go one step further, you know, and sometimes it's good, and sometimes it's like, all right, hold on, you know. but that's what I love about him, you know, is he's always trying to find another way to push you. To say, okay, well, you know, if you feel like you can go there, well, let's go one step further. You know, let's really see. You know, don't set a limit on yourself. And so I told him, I said, I'll be open to it. You know, let's get this first goal first, and then, you know, if I feel like that's another, if I want to go that low, then maybe I will, but I may not want to. You know, and it's just like with, you know, with Mark, and when we were having that lunch that day, you know, like I told him, I said, I'm you know, I've never done the no wheat, no dairy diet. You know, or not diet, but, you know, go into that way of life. And I know, like, Mark tried it, and it just didn't seem to be an issue with Mark, and he kind of has kind of gone back to, you know, having a little bit of wheat and dairy in his diet. I told Paige, I said, hey, you know, I'll try. I mean, you know, what's the worst that can happen? You know, I mean, at the very least, I get a little bit more educated about it, you know? Yeah. So, you know, I mean, that's I'm willing to take that step. So I'm excited to see where it takes me. I really am.
It's definitely cool stuff. Yeah. I think what really got me off of my stomach meds was going to dairy-free. I really think I had an intolerance to that, and I think I had some intolerance to the gluten. And, man, like you said, you learn so much from it. It's like, you know, it's such a good workout. It helps you so much. And you were talking earlier about, like, the childhood obesity thing and making sure that people work out right and stuff. It's like, people don't realize when you get into that kind of condition that you can't go balls to the wall in an exercise because you don't even have the muscles, the stabilizing muscles to support your major muscle groups. Man,
right.
you're really in a dangerous position if you do that.
Right.
And that's what makes YRG so great, because he's developed it in such a way that you can really make it your own and take it to the next level when you want to, while you're building up the stabilizing muscles, and you don't have to worry that you're gonna injure yourself while you're doing it.
Yeah, you know, and that's the thing too, is that, and I learned over the years as a fitness professional, you know, the health and fitness business is one where it lives by a standard that no other industry lives by, which is, you know, people who are looking to get in shape, one thing that they typically do is they'll pick a personal trainer based on how the personal trainer looks. You know, especially like if it's a male personal trainer, if he looks like he's, you know, almost like a bodybuilder, whether, oh, they got to know what he's doing. Let's see. I mean, what other profession do you pick, you know, this person you're going to trust with your body, by the way they look? You certainly don't pick your doctor that way, you know? I mean, you know, you just, it's like, you know, you don't pick your lawyer that way, things like that. I mean, but it's like, it's always kind of the thing in you know, health and fitness is like, oh, well, this person looks, they look like, you know, this Adonis, so they must know what they're doing, you know. And Arthur Jones, who was really one of the smartest men ever in the health and fitness industry, was a guy who invented Nautilus. And he used to have a saying, and he passed away just a few years ago, and he used to have a saying that he'd say, if you want to know how to work out and you know, to train your body, go to a gym, find the biggest, most muscular guy in the gym, ask him what he does for a workout, and do exactly the opposite. Because more than likely that guy's just a musclehead and doesn't know what the heck he's talking about, you know. And it's true, it really is. But you know, I mean, I'm sure you guys hear it too. You know, it's like you go, well, you know, when you're in shape, you know, you get in shape, people start noticing. They go, oh, you know, you must work out like, you know, every day of the week, you know. And yeah, so it's like YRG, which you can incorporate every day of your life. But still, you're not like going in and like doing like some marathon session every single day. I mean, that's, your body's just not made that way, you know. I mean, the most, you know, it's like in Paige and I talked about a lot too, the most important part of any kind of training regimen is recovery, you know. I mean, you got to allow yourself time to recover too. But that's what's so great about the YRG being non-impact, and you know, you don't beat your body up when you're working out. You really don't, you know. And that's one of the things that really appealed to me when I first started looking into it, even back, you know, when he first started, you know, back several years ago. And you know, and he really has them. He's, you know, and Yoga Doc, I mean, God bless Yoga Doc. I mean, he's, you know, obviously, you know, the guy that really, really has been such a huge resource to Paige and all of us, you know. And, you know, I think he's such a great driving force behind this whole philosophy too, you know. So, yeah, Paige is smart. He surrounded himself with good people. He really has. And that's why this thing is, I can't wait for it to explode, because I really feel like it will. Because, you know, Mark and I have a saying about Paige, you know, like Paige or not, don't bet against him. You know,
yep.
You know, and that's, and I tell people that all the time. I said, you know, you can say what you want about him, whether you like him or not, you know, do not bet against the guy. So, because he'll take your money.
And for the people who are new to YRG, who don't know who the Yoga Doc is, he was, is Dallas's partner. He's a chiropractor. He has another title, which I can never pronounce. I'm not even going to bother. But, like Ray said, he was Dallas's partner in developing YRG, and he was in a lot of ways, in the early days, the brains behind YRG, and really helped Dallas out a lot in building everything up and developing the workout the right way.
Yeah, and Dr. Craig Aaron, I mean, he's one of those guys who he works on athletes of every level. You know, especially the pro level, and I think if I'm not mistaken, you know, his other title is like an applied kinesiologist, and
that's it.
He's never said. He's very, very knowledgeable, and I'll be the first to admit, I was never a big fan of chiropractic. until I met Doc, and he, I totally was like a skeptic of it, and he really, really changed my opinion of how to look at that. And I think he's a perfect example too of, I mean, there's some, you know, quote unquote traditional medical doctors that I wouldn't go see, you know, and there's still some chiropractors I wouldn't go see. But I mean, I can tell you this much. I mean, yoga doctor is a guy that when I had any problem, he's in Atlanta, Georgia, Marietta. If you're ever part of Team YRG, if you're ever in Atlanta, you owe it to yourself to go introduce yourself to him. And he's just such a kind of spirit. He really is, and he's just such a giving person as far as his knowledge and his expertise. And he's a guy I go to now. I mean, if I have any problem, when I first had my shoulder problem, I went to him, and even though we both knew that I had a problem bigger than he could fix because it was probably something for surgery, he alleviated the pain that I had. I mean, I was at the point where I was like literally like couldn't hardly get through the day. It was just killing me. And he you know, just through manipulation and some of the therapy that he is expert in. I mean, he at least took away my pain to the point where it was bearable. And you know, after I got to, you know, hugging him profusely, you know, that, you know, okay, Doc, hopefully I want to come back and see you anytime soon. But no, I mean, you know, and that he really is the such a driving force behind this, because he cares about it too. I mean, you know, he and Paige were, you know, they started this vision together, and I definitely want to see them succeed with this thing to the level they see it being, you know, which is basically, you know, on that level with P90X and things like that. And I definitely think that he's so close to getting to that, you know, the breakthrough point that, you know, it's one of those things where, like, you know, I heard somebody say the other day that, you know, like using a professional surfer as an example, you know, a professional surfer, that when he waits for a wave, if he waits too long, then he misses a wave. And if he paddles too fast, then, you know, he gets engulfed by the wave. But if you catch it at the right time, then you ride that wave all the way in. And I know Paige has really worked hard to be able to catch that wave just at the right time. And I think he's really, really close to that. I really do. And, you know.
I was going to say, I hope he catches it too. I mean, you look at the program, you look at the progression, like you were saying, the things he did with the yoga doc, and you look at the original set of DVDs, you look at the DVDs that we have now, the full workout set that we got now, and then where he's taking it to the next level. He's got something in there for everybody. There's not anybody who can't benefit from this program. He's got a nutrition program in it. It's not a diet. It's a nutrition. You get on it, and you can take any part of it. He allows you to make it your own, and it's a lifestyle that anybody can live with and make their life better. I don't know how you couldn't want to do it, you know?
Right, yeah. It's just, you know, a few simple changes, you know, and like you said, it's not a quick fix. You know, I can tell you right now, I mean, we all know there's nothing out there that's a quick fix, you know, because anything that will give you a short-term, you know, result, it's going to, in the long run, you know, you'll be back on the yo-yo. I mean, just like Paige always says, you know, and we all know people that, you know, and like I said, you guys, I mean, we've all been there. My mom's a, you know, diabetic, but she battled her weight for years, and then when she finally decided to make a lifestyle change, then she got to the point now where she's at the lowest weight she's been, you know, in her entire life, and she's healthier than she's ever been, but it took her, you know, making the decision to make a change in her day-to-day life, you know, and, you know, and I'm still working on her, to, you know, maybe get her to do YRG, but we'll see on that one. I don't know. she's telling, she's kind of like happy with the life she has right now, so I don't know if I can get her to do YRG. So I don't know if she's willing to listen to Paige's voice for 30 minutes. No, obviously, I'm kind of joking with him there. I hope he didn't hear that. But,
so. I'll edit that out, man. Don't worry about it.
Nice.
But, you know, but anyway, guys, I go ahead, Ron.
Well, I think we may be getting ready to say the same thing. I was going to say, I've been doing this show for an hour, hour and a half, I've been doing this show for a year, year and a half, and this is the first time I've ever actually had to say that we're almost out of time.
Well, that's what I was looking at. I was thinking, man, I don't want to capitalize on the whole time here. I would definitely want to let, if we have some people calling in and stuff, I would sign off and, you know, say thanks for having me on. So I appreciate it, guys.
You've got to come back, Ray.
Yeah, absolutely. I definitely look forward to it. I mean, Rob and I talk on a very regular basis, so I know he'll keep reminding me, you know, every Thursday to come on. So and actually, you know, Rob and I talked today, and we're kind of keeping this under wraps right now, but I've actually got a pretty big project in the works, and maybe we'll be talking about it sometime in the near future.
Sweet.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Anytime you got anything you want to say, or if we can do anything for you with what you've done for us, bring it on the show, man.
Yeah, well, thank you guys so much. And I tell you what, man, I mean, I'm excited to hear what you guys have done with this, you know, in your personal lives. I mean, that's just, man, I mean, you guys need to be motivational speakers. You really do.
That's a huge compliment. I mean, we're honored to have you on the show and to say stuff like that. Hey, if you really want to see it, come to El Dorado Royale in August.
Yeah, well, you know what? I'm actually looking at when I saw it the other day. I looked at it a couple times, and I was like, I didn't really look at it close, and I thought, wow, you know, I might can make that happen in August, you know. So I'm gonna start looking at it serious. I really will.
Sweet. I know she's got spots left. I talked to Ashley, who works for Sally Dallas's sister, and she's like, we got a few more. So anybody you talk to, so hey.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. And that goes for
anybody
listening, too.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I mean, I really, really appreciate you guys allowing me to come on and you know, and talk about the stuff with Randy and you know, the YRG stuff. I mean, I really, really appreciate it. Thank you.
I appreciate it, man. I know you got to get up early. I really appreciate you taking the time, bro.
Okay, guys. I'm going to sign off. Y'all take care. And, yeah, I'll talk to you soon, okay?
All right, bro.
Okay.
Okay.
Thank you,
guys. Bye-bye. Okay. Bye-bye. Thank you.
Woo! Can't do that too loud because my boy's sleeping downstairs, but what a show.
Well, here, let me do one better for you, man.
Oh, yeah!
There you go.
There we go. Oh, yeah! That's pretty cool. So as everybody knows, Robert said it, we are running out of time. We're up against it, so... unless you're firing something into the chat room right now for us to answer, or you're on the line right now, without objection, I think it's time to go. What do you guys say?
I completely agree.
Okay, well.
What do you say, Stacey?
I'm ready to close. It's been a fantastic show, though.
Absolutely. And, you know, because and I'm going to interrupt you again, Sparky. I'm sorry.
Sure.
To close out the show, after we all say our goodbyes, I had a new intro prepared. My internet went down, so I wasn't able to play it, so I'm going to play that for the outro for the show.
Awesome. I'm looking forward to it. And if you guys haven't noticed, the new graphics, everything on the site, Robert is the brain behind all the goodness that is there. So many mm-hmm. props and many thank yous to you, Robert. And
I appreciate
never that. Enough. And no problem. And anybody listening... Yeah, who enjoys the show or enjoys the site, please, you know, consider what Robert's done for the site and what Robert's done for Team YRG, because without him, none of this is possible. Without he or Stacy, YRG Radio is impossible. Without you guys, there's no Team YRG. So keep coming back. Keep listening to us. Participate. Give us a call. Get in the chat room. That said...
Thanks, everyone, for listening tonight.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. It's been real, and it has been fun. This is Sparky. Pay respect to the memory in the life of Randy Savage. Rest in peace, Macho Man. We're out. It's not necessarily that. It's all about feeling good in your mind and in your heart and where you're at. It's not about the waist size. It's not about the scale number. It's about where you feel right inside.
Yeah, you've had ups and downs, but you've stuck with it, and, you know, you never gave up, and that's what I just find so inspiring.
You say that I can be an inspiration. I think that, you know, one of the themes that we've been picking up tonight is, you know, what Team YRG can do for yourself and for others, and it's all about paying it forward. If I can help anybody, if I can help one person, if one person looked at what I did and think that is something that motivates them to do something, that motivates somebody else to do something. Good God, man, I can't explain how good that makes me feel.
it was just a complete moment of triumph, because at that particular time I went farther than my original goal, and I was still feeling amazing. And I just, the whole shot is emblematic of what you can do if you don't let your doubts mess you up.
Sparky, this is Mark Merrow. No, brother, you are really, and you guys are so inspirational. You know, Team YRG, everybody that is part of Team YRG has been so inspirational. Everybody, we all have a story, you know. God has a purpose for all our lives, and we use that, you know. It's like God has taken our mess and turned into our message. We take this message that we have, that we take in control of our life. And you just said it, Sparky, it's taking control of your life. It's making that decision to take control of your life. And when you do, you actually put yourself in a place where you can inspire and help so many people.
If things weren't already interesting enough, I had a friend of mine call in. Ray Lloyd is actually on the line.
Oh, my gosh, you're kidding me. Sugar Ray.
Brother Mark, what's up? And I just remember him saying, he said, there's not a lot of people in this world who are known as much for their failures as they are their successes. He said, I've missed a lot of jumps. And he said, but you know what? I kept getting back up. And that's become like my new theme is keep getting back up. Because we all get knocked down. We all do. And you just keep getting back up.
It's me, DDP Diamond Dallas Page, and welcome to the YRG Radio Roundtable.